Voilà. Very good. They know what they are doing. The next candidate is in. Mr. Masilo. Masilo. A very good morning, Mr. Masilo. You are going to use our laptop. We are on the visual platform. So there are two mics that you're going to use. Don't touch anything. Just leave those mics like that, because when you touch the mouse and you will mute your mic, not knowing that you have muted. So both mics are on. Relax. Make yourself comfortable. If you have a stage fright, just take a break and a deep breath and say, and drink your water. And if you want to take a break a little bit, don't hesitate to tell the chair. That chair, a little bit, but unfortunately you can't go to the bathroom, because we take it that already before you came in, you would have gone to the gents. So my name is Nonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Women and Youth and Persons with Disabilities. I'm co-chairing the panel with Ms. Gillion. She's the chairperson of Health and Youth Services from the NCOP. Another member is on platform, a visual platform, Honorable Malika from Mpumalanga. She has a family bereavement, so that's why she's not present today. Over to you, Honorable Malika.
Thank you, Chairperson.
You are speaking very soft.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the candidate. My name is Audrey Malika, the member of the subcommittee in Mpumalanga. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malika. Over to you, Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and a very good morning to Mr. Masilo. My name is Luyolo Mpiti, and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Mr. Masiko. I am Ms. Masiko, and I am a member of this subcommittee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you, sir. My name is Mbulelo Bacha. I'm a member of the committee as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Alex Chabeleng. I serve in the subcommittee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Hayi gamalami engu Sibongile Khawula member lelikomiti. Ngikubingelele hlonishwa Masilo.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Mr. Masilo. My name is Teliswa Mgweba, and the member of the committee.
Good morning, and thank you, Chairperson. Lebitso la ka ke Boitumelo Maluleke, mo leloko wa committee. Ra o amogela mo paneleng ya kajeko mo di-interviewng tsa kajeko. Ke a leboga, Chairperson.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Masilo, you have a right to speak in any vernacular language where you want to express yourself. Is long as nobale or since cut. Get your song because it's not our mother tongue. The gentleman sitting next to Honorable Mpiti is Dr. Tembe from our legal team unit in Parliament. And the two ladies sitting at the back is the first one is Ms. Nomvula Shiba, the manager for committees, and Ms. Neliswa Nobatana, our committee secretary, Ms. Zuki France, the coordinator for the select committee in the NCOB. So now you have only 45 minutes with us. But we may exceed 45 minutes due to follow-up questions that will be asked by members. The first question is about yourself. Tell us about yourself, who you are, where are you coming from, you are born from USA or where. And then that is on the lighter note, just to make you relax. And convince us why must we recommend you to the president that you must be appointed to serve in the board of NYDA. Over to you. Sorry, Mr. Marcelo. So why don't you go and sit it on? No, you must go and sit it on. It's on. Oh. What is the problem?
Firstly, Chair, let me start by showing my gratitude out of all young people in this country who would have applied to be in this particular board, this committee saw it fit that I also find expression in as far as competing amongst the rest. To us, to me, it's an opportunity of a lifetime that will go a long way. Chair, my name is Masilo Dambe. I am from the dusty streets of Kuzong in Carletonville, west of Johannesburg. I grew up there in that particular, in that area. Even my activism life actually was birthed in that part of a town. Chair, I am the president of an organization called Albinism Renaissance. That organization's role, primary role and responsibility is to champion interest of people with albinism in this country. We are extremely passionate about the work that we do. So as a president, I play that particular role in making sure that become the voice of the voiceless. We champion interest of those who can champion their own interest. I did my matric in that particular in a school called Relebogile. But quickly found a job immediately. I finished that matric. Went and then when in local government there in Merafong, whilst working, I pursued a few certificates, which when combined they can give you a diploma in local government. I am an extreme hard worker, a visionary. I view myself as a strategist. I am an activist of note, Chair. That is why we formed an organization called Renaissance Forum. I am an activist of note because where I come from, one has been exposed into championing interests of young people broadly. Where I come from, one has been exposed to a lot of developmental programs that our government runs. Joining government at a very young age, one got an opportunity to interact and understand how government works, to interact with community and society, and even understand their challenges. Being an activist that I am, I've been involved in a lot of youth formations in and around Gauteng and the country as well. Being an activist that I am, I participate. I'm an organizer of a particular program called Dancing Soul, where we collect school shoes and sanitary towels for disadvantaged kids there in the west of Gauteng. And then we distribute them every year in January. I'm an involved person, so I'm always around, always trying to assist where possible. But of great importance, Chair, the reason I applied for to being in the board of the National Youth Development Agency is because I want to be a voice of people with disability in that particular board. But most importantly, I want to be the face of disability in that particular board, and not just to be a face of disability, given my capacity and my ability. One should conclude that I'm a credible candidate to advance and champion, as I've been already doing, to advance and champion interest of young people in this country. Now, I want to engage, lobby you as a committee, not necessarily coerce you, but appeal that it is important that the name Masilo Tambe find expression somehow in the list of young people that you are going to nominate to submit to the president, simply because of the work experience in government that we have had from government to the provincial government until to where we are now, where I'm actively involved in civil society programs, and not only at a local scale, but at a national scale, where I'm involved in different programs that seeks to champion interest of different interest groups within our communities, within our country at large. With those words, Chair, I submit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Masilo. I now hand over to Honourable Members, Honourable Mukweba. Honourable Chair, you want to ask a question? Honourable Gillian? Honourable Mampiti? Honourable Masiko? Honourable Maluleka? In that order. Malika, do you want to ask a question? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you to Mr. Masilo. I've listened to your introduction and also just went through your CV, and I can confirm, Chair, that yes, according to the CV, indicated that he is the president of the Albinism Renaissance Forum. And also in his input also spoke about his involvement in the civil society organizations. That I understand is his activism. Then my question to you, Mr. Masilo, if you can be recommended and appointed as an NYTA board member, how are you going to make sure that persons with disabilities have access to equal opportunities and rights? Also influence government and facilitate economic participation as this sector indeed extreme poverty, so that we achieve the 7th inclusion of the sector, which is the person with disabilities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chair?
Yeah.
Or do I end? Oh, thanks, Chair. Chair, thank you very much. And thank There's a slogan that says, nothing about us without us. But my experience has taught me that when we're discussing issues of disability, we are discussing them in silos or as a by-the-way issue. You see, when it comes to policy positions of our government, we are doing exceptionally well. The problem, therefore, becomes when we are to implement these policies or bring them into action or life, which is a fundamental problem. Honorable member is correct that people with disabilities are still disadvantaged. Now, when I was busy preparing to come and see you, Honorable Chair, to sit here before you, I had made a small inner research with regard to the operations, Honorable Member, of the NYDA. As best and do they include in their programs holistically people with disability? I am shocked that most of those programs that they used to have, apparently they used to have, but they no longer have them. For simple reasons that, actually there's no simple reason, there's a mental reason to how and why did the programs of people with disability in as far as inclusion in the programs of NYDA were left unattended. And that called for a concern to myself to say, it means we do not have a voice at a board level, at operational level. Now, it is of great importance that now more than ever, I'm convinced that I must become part of this board so that I advocate and make sure that young people, in particular, who have got disabilities, are not left behind. Because as we are sitting here and talking today, they are not part of anything. That is why I'm saying it becomes a by-the-way issue. And when we are discussing disability, we are discussing it as just an inclusion, it becomes an afterthought that, but we have forgotten this particular sector. And that type of mentality and approach, and it's unfortunately, it's something that cuts across and cuts. And that kind of mentality is the one that is consistently making sure that young people with disabilities are left behind. Now, to ask, answering the question as to how, NYDA, when we enter there, we are going to introduce programs in alignment with the programs that are already there in the system. But these programs are going to make sure that they are going to focus directly into empowerment of people with disability. I'll give you an example. One of the recommendations that I want to bring before you is that, because I've even went through their organogram in as far as employment there in the system is concerned, you would find out that there's a need, or I found out when I was busy researching that there's a need for what we call a stakeholder relations unit. Maybe if the organogram is bloated, is too much, there's no budget, the best approach is that you bring it into the office of the board, so that the board monitors and fundraise, make sure that this particular stakeholder relations unit is Mewaga, so that we can be able to factor in and put in other programs within that are able to cater and attend to issues of young people with disability. Now, we're going to have this stakeholder relation. We're going to analyze needs. We know them as the board, I think, but we're going to analyze the needs and we're going to be able to to advance to them. But of great importance, the issue of 7%, it must not be a compliance issue without repercussions. We have a problem of not adhering to our own legislations, Chairperson, and there are no repercussions as to why. So, as to why are we not attaining these things? So, when we get there, Honorable Member, we're going to make sure that part of the indicators for the executive there, including the board itself, is to add in their key performance indicators that, colleagues, if you don't attain a particular percentage in as far as disability is concerned, we are just going to make sure that we are not going to score you high. So a person must know that their bonuses are aligned with making sure that they implement that particular aspect of the because if you don't hold people accountable and make sure that they implement what is expected of them, you'll have a problem of a by the way approach or I forgot it. However, I was able to implement this particular program. So all programs that the board is going to advance, they must be important, they must be equal. And that includes inclusion of people, in particular young people with disability. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Masilo.
Yes, Chair.
If you are following the work that is done by our portfolio committee on women, youth and persons with disabilities, you will achieve even yourself that this portfolio committee is one of the portfolio committees that takes issues of people living with disability serious, not as a by the way. That's why if you are watching our committee, you would have seen that we are this portfolio committee that have also told the department that they must reprioritize the issues of people living with disability and ensure that they now come to Parliament and introduce the bill that will then establish an act rather than us as a country living with a white paper for so many years. So we said they must prioritize it so that by this year, next year, early, that bill will be in Parliament. So even this panel, we are not going to do a by the way because Habayo Raba Kenya. It's about quality and compliance. That if we, being part of this panel, we don't ensure that people with living with disabilities are part of the NYTK, we wouldn't have done justice. Will fail the people living with disabilities. So it's not a by the way. It's a principle that we will ensure that implemented correctly. That's why it's important for you to convince us with why must we identify you to be part of the board. Not because the condition or whatever, but because you will be deserving to be part of the board. So with that one, the session. Relax.
Okay.
I'm just assuring you.
Okay.
The next honorable member, Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I think I completely would like to agree with what you've said, Chair. The Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities takes this issue very seriously, because I think for a very long time, this discourse in the country has been something that has been completely left behind and almost forgotten. So I think it's a very important, and I appreciate your comments on how you want to advocate for persons with disabilities. It is a very important issue. But to get to my question, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities flags the importance of using ICT infrastructure as a means of being able to mainstream the people living or persons with disabilities into the workforce, but also increasing economic activity for persons living with disabilities. We know in South Africa that many, whether it's the public or private sector, have not made means to integrate fully persons living with disabilities within their workforce, because a ramp does not mean equality. There needs to be more integration that needs to be done by companies to ensure persons with living with disabilities have full participation, both in the economy and both in the advancement of this country. So I would like to know from you, how will you be able to advocate for ICT infrastructure for the benefit and improvement of persons living with disabilities, either through the NYDA board, and also advocating for that within our public and private sector places. Thank you.
Through you, Chair. So, Chair, I was working in one department here in Gauteng as a community liaison officer, a communications officer. One of the challenges that we would have faced, or one would have faced there, is tools of trade. So you don't just give Masilo a laptop so that he can just operate it and whatnot. You give Masilo an enhanced laptop with a particular screen that's to Masilo. I'm going to get to your question, Honorable Member. I agree that it is quite important that when we also say employ, empower people with disabilities, let's make research on how best we can do it. Because it goes back to that issue of if we were to empower people with disability, we want to do it on a compliance level, Chair, than to do it on an empowerment basis. Yes. And that is where the problem is. Now, my candidacy into the board, the first approach that we need to do whilst we're advocating for the empowerment of people with disabilities is to make awareness that when you employ a person with a wheelchair, your building must be in a particular manner which it accommodates this person. When you employ a person with albinism, like myself, when you give him a tools of trade, they must be in this particular manner. Now, this is where your ICT becomes central, because even people who use braille, they remember if you can't see, you can hear. So we are using different methodologies to survive or to adapt in as far as going by or delivering or executing our duties is concerned. So it's important that whilst we say people with disabilities must be integrated within the system, we must also assist to say whilst we are integrating them, this is how you are going to assist them using ICT. With COVID being the order of the day today, it would mean that use of a technology must be at the center, both private space, it must be at the center of operation. So we just need to understand disabilities because disabilities are different, so that we can be able to apply different ICT mechanisms or tools to make sure that, because a person would say, no, I can't have a person with disability in my organization simply because, for instance, you can't have a person with albinism there in the construction site, even though in my private life I'm also doing construction work. A person would be saying you can't. So how best do you include a person with albinism on site in the construction site? Which tools of trade can we employ in making sure that a person with albinism maximally operates and is able to deliver and duties they are expected to? So to answer you, Honorable Member, is that we need to start with advocacy. That is the point of departure. Start with advocacy, whilst advocacy in as far as ICT involvement, to say when we employ our people, please be mindful that you might need 1, 2, 3, 4 for them to perform optimally best in the work environment, in the economy, in the space of economy, as well as business people and all that. Thank you, Chair. I hope I answered you well.
Thank you very much. Mr. Tobler?
Thanks, Chairperson. Ramasilo, I nearly made a mistake that we are in a workshop discussing policy on what to do going forward. I had an advantage of working with Andrew Mandela, who is Secretary of Disabled South Africa for some years. And one thing he taught me is that all of us who use public transport, all of us who have cars or moving cars from one place to the other, we should not be talking of solidarity with people with disabilities, because we are potential. We have a potentiality of being disabled in one or the other through accidents and all. So it's not solidarity. When we push for rights of people with disabilities, we're fighting our own battle for the future. In case I'm to lose sight and or lose mobility, I must be aware that, be assured that by when that thing happens, if it does happen, I should not have a problem of having people carry me from one place to the other. We've gone to meetings in venues in the last 2 years where there is no access, to wheelchair access. And those were public meetings called by Parliament in such venues. So I just want to check, now that you have said that there should be nothing about us without us, I'm seeing myself and that of those us as a potent person with that potential. So what is this that you're going to do to ensure that the programs that were run by the youth movement some years ago, like there was a program called Y for EA, Youth for Environmental Access. That program was helping to build ramps in government buildings and in community halls. If we appoint you as the member of the board, what are some of the programs that you will bring about to ensure that all South Africans have access to all facilities that are built for them by the government? What is this that you will do to ensure that all buildings are accessible to everybody? That will be my question for now. No, my question is, what is he going to if he's to be appointed as a member of the board? What is it that will do to ensure that there is access for all South Africans in all public buildings and public buildings in terms of government and community buildings as in communities? Because when we construct buildings, we need to have that in mind going forward. What is this that you do to ensure that all government buildings are accessible to everybody?
Okay.
You had the question?
Yes, Chair, I had the question.
There was some breaking up.
May I respond, Chair?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your question, Honorable Member. Chair, we need to... We need to reintroduce some programs that were phased out whilst trying to refine and modernize NYDA. I'll give you an example, and I'm going to get to the building aspect. I'll give you an example. Years back, around 2008, when we were still before before Umsobovu Youth Fund and the Youth Commission were amalgamated, were brought together. Kings specifically on its own used to run and mobilize programs, funds that were attending to certain things that today we are no longer attending to. Today you can no longer get to hear NYDA running a program such as moral regeneration when there's a lot of moral decay in our communities, drug abuse and all that. There was a time when social development, when Youth Commission would partner with social development, the Department of Justice, different stakeholders, even universities, to address issue of career exhibitions. The number of career exhibitions that we were having then and that the number that has completely reduced, went down. That says to you, why, in our plight of trying to modernize, to stay relevant, we've somehow left critical programs behind that were assisting us, which is something that to reintroduce. Honorable Member, when he asked a question, he refers to a program that was progressive, that used to speak to lobbying of or engaging different stakeholders in as far as building of buildings are concerned, on accommodating different stakeholders, in particular also in this case people with disabilities who are on wheelchairs, for instance, as an example, to access these particular buildings as a program that used to be ran and it was progressive. That is why today, because of that program, many buildings have got ramps. Many buildings, for instance, there are buildings that are in the light in Ghana. Many buildings, some of them are deemed for us who don't necessarily like light on our eyes because it gives us problems, something like that. Now, we need to go back and revisit some of these programs and check the impact that they used to do and reintroduce them back. And as the NYDA, I should think, because our programs are community, must be community-based, we need to engage different stakeholders, but most importantly, local government, because these buildings are there in local government. And these people that we want to service and these people who must access these buildings are there at the local level. So it's quite critical. We revisit the program, but most importantly, we engage with local government to say, where you colleagues, your buildings are not accessible, can we fast track and make sure that, because NYDA in most of its program in those communities is workshops for SMMEs and all that thing, and they invite young people into these buildings of municipalities. So it's quite critical that we engage with municipalities to accommodate different sectors of our communities so that they can be able to participate fully and well, so in buildings that well accommodate them and they are able to be comfortable. Because in some escalators are not working. And therefore, for you to go to the second floor, you need to walk through the stairs. Where is the person with a wheelchair is going to? How is the person with the wheelchair going to get that? So, whilst we are busy doing what we call IGR, intergovernmental relations, part of the issues that we need to address in these programs or in these particular meetings is to say, let's find ways and means of accommodating our people. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Sister?
Thank you, Chairperson. Rema Silo, I like the slogan that you raised earlier on to say, people with disability, they are saying nothing about us without us. But then, you know, this NYDA, many people, they think that it's not for all youth in our country. So if you are appointed as a member of the board, what is it that you can do to ensure that you change this negative narrative or perception among young women, among young people, and people with disability? And also, can you just tell us what is it that you can do if you are a board member to ensure that the NYDA is visible, especially in rural areas, and especially now during the COVID-19, because you know that no gatherings are allowed. Physical contact is not allowed. What is it that you will do if you are a member of this board to ensure that people, even in the rural areas, they know that NYDA is alive and it has got benefits that can benefit those people who are there, especially the young people? Thank you, Chair.
Very much. Through you, Chair, the question that the Honourable Member has has just asked has been daunting me. Has been daunting me in a sense that that is why earlier on I made an example. There are programs that were honestly integrating everybody within youth development, which when we're trying to modify, or grow the NYDA, we left these critical programs behind. Now we are here today. We have an NYDA that has not, that is doing exceptionally well, but has not been able to cater a number of programs, or has left some of these programs behind. Now, we need to, in the country, set up a record straight and clear that the center of youth development is the National Youth Development Agency. Now, we must introduce, honorable member, what we call back to basics in the NYDA. Back to basics goes back to that input that I would have made to say we need to revisit some of the programs and reintroduce them back within the scale. We need to, because there in the NYDA, whilst one was busy researching, we don't have a unit specifically that is dealing with IGR, intergovernmental relations, and stakeholder relations. And this is where it comes through. We need to mobilize young people, which is what, as an organization, we fell back on. How do we do this thing? Introduce stakeholder relations and IGR department. It can operate within the board office, it's fine. Introduce that. Use it as a vehicle to communicate and to communicate programs that the NYDA does. But most importantly, this particular IGR must be able to coordinate different stakeholders. It must be able to mobilize different young people from all walks of life. Young people, young women, young entrepreneurs, young people with disability, young people in school, young people out of school, who are employed, young people who are unemployed. And it must be able to identify this particular unit that I am extremely passionate about, of intergovernmental relations and stakeholder relations. It must be able to communicate, to touch base. That is why through this particular system that I want to introduce, we are going to introduce what we call field workers of the NYDA. So field workers will be placed in each municipality. That way, field workers will cascade down, will develop our programs and cascade down to them and themselves, as well as and when they develop programs within their communities. But these field workers, colleagues, is not a duplicate of what we call youth coordinators and youth units at a municipality level. A system or a team that enhances whatever work that is being done there at a local government level. Now, as a board member, I'm extremely convinced that in order for us to mobilize young people, need that mobilizes this particular young people, because I saw there in the organogram that there lacks this particular we're out of touch. We're in touch as an NYDA with young people, but we're not necessarily. You're correct when you say young people, they are young people who cannot even relate with the NYDA simply because it doesn't serve their interests according to them, which is not a true reflection. But for it to be a true reflection, for us to agree with young people, it's best that we go down to them at a grassroots level and be able to introduce our programs, but also allow them to introduce whatever programs that they wish to introduce. That is one amongst other things that we can introduce. Now, there are so many organizations in the country that are not mobilized or that are not coordinated. The role of the NYDA is to make sure that we mobilize and coordinate these particular different groups that have got different interests in the NYDA. It takes us, now going back to the last part of the question, in as far as today's our latest lifestyle of the COVID, as we are all affected by it, on how best can we mobilize young people. We have got regulations, so we must not, for us to implement our programs, we must not use COVID as a problem or a hindrance for us to access our clients, which are young people. Whilst adhering to the regulations of COVID and whatnot, we must be able to at least care, because I agree we are talking about 50 plus are not allowed, but anything between, it can be allowed. So we must not stop doing what we've been doing. We must just continue at that lower scale. That is number one. But number two, we need to find a way of how best do we introduce ICT and use of Wi-Fi hotspots across. Now, I have noted that NYDA has got offices, Chair, at district level, struggling there to get more offices and whatnot. But we need to go back, and there were things that were really, really awesome working. We need to go back and ask municipalities to give us operational centers where those field workers are going to operate from, so that we are able to reach as many young people as possible. I was going through one of the reports of the NYDA where they say they had reached 70-something thousand young people in as far as outreach programs is concerned. And this report, mind you, is a report before COVID. So it means that number is going to reduce to a lower number when we have more than 20 million young people in the country. So we need to revisit and intensify our programs at a local community level as a board. So we need to, as a board, we need to renters party, we must whip and make sure that the operational aspect, in as far as us implementing these things is concerned, they implement them. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Masilo. Honorable Makaula.
Ngibonge Chair, ngikubingelele emhlonishwa Masilo. Ngixolele uma ngibiza kahambe. Okay. Ngibonge Sihlalo ukuthi akwazi ukuthi akuveze ukuthi kungani ekugcizelelekile kuleli komiti ukuthi kube khona nabantu esibabonayo ukuthi nabo ba-disable. Ngoba leli komiti vese ukuze silibone ukuthi liyasebenza, sifuna ukubona ngoba sinabantu nabo abahlalele kwibhodi ukuze sibone intsha yakithi eSouth Africa nabantu besifazane bakithi eSouth Africa bephila kangcono kunalokho kunye. Siye sithi ke ndodana, abantu abaphila nesibala sibiza ukuthi inhlopho esigubo. Mhlawumbe uyabona ukuthi ekugcineni la eSouth Africa abantu bakhona, engisho angithandi kakhulu azingithi izwe lishintshile. Izwe walidala umbelinqangise njengoba linjalo, abantu abajikile. Siyabona lana ndodana, abantu bebulawa ngendlela yokuthi kuthiwa kokwenziwa imithi Mpumalanga kakhulu nase-KZN kakhulu, la ngisuka khona, banenkoleloze yokuthi if bekwazi ukuthi bathole abantu abanaleli bala bebabulala bazoceba. Khona umhlonishwa omunye besijwayele ukuba naye kuleli komiti, uMazibuko. Siye sikhuluma kakhulu ngalezo zinto. Kanjalo nabantu abakhubazekile, kakhulukazi emakhaya. Uma ngabe betholakele, angisho ukuthi bayajabula abamafamily, kodwa kuba khona lento yokuthi bayabancisha amathuba abo akusasa, ngoba ke sithi le ngane ikhubazekile izalwe yimina, kusasa mina ngizoshona. Kufanele ikwazi nayo ukuba izimele nomuntu wayo ozoyigada, mhlawumbe kuyisitifiketi esithize, ama-skills athize. Baye bakholelwe ukuthi bona bahole, bajabulele le mali yokuhola i-disability grant. Okunye ngiyabonga ngoba usukubalile lokhu ama-ofisi. Ukuthi sinenkinga yama-ofisi othola ukuthi kahulumeni uqobo, mangabe akhiwa abakwazi ukwabheka ukuthi ameleleke kuwo wonke umuntu wala eSouth Africa, kwaphela iy'phiwo zethu azifani. Khona lo muntu lo othola ukuthi akakwazi uhamba ngenduku, khona lo ukuthi uhamba ngesihlalo. Uthola ukuthi labo bantu abakwazi ukuqasheka, kuze kube lula kubona bathi ngabe siyakuthatha ukuthi inkinga asikwazi, asinayo indawo yokuthi ukwazi uhamba nasema-ofisi nethu uzofikelela. Ngibonile term engisuka kuyona, sasisempumalanga sokwenza i-oversight samba nenye imemba yethu eyayikhubazekile, yagcina ilalela ngendaba ngoba ikwazanga ukuhamba iyofika phezulu iyobona ukuthi le zinto esizozenza i-oversight ziyini. Umbuzo wami ke uthi, mangabe wena uyalithola leli thuba lokuthi uyangena kule bhodi, yini osithembisa yona, noma yini ozoyenzela abantu balabe ngibabalaba basemakhaya ukuthi uhambe yekubona ubatshela ukuthi umuntu noma engakhubazeka kodwa naye kufanele alithole i-right lakhe, naye angayiboni ebandluleka sangathi ungenye into. Ngoba kune-channel la e-179, angithi uma thina ama-politician isikhathi esiningi asilali, engabona umuntu umlungu eqinisweni okhubazeke ngendlela ukuthi ngangiqala empilweni yami kumbona ikhanda lakho ofana ukuthi uma ihamba into ebona phambili la, kodwa uyasebenza imisebenzi ayenzayo mikhulu, ngabe yezandle yani, abanye bayabhala, abanye abakwazi ngisho ukudrive. Yithina lana eSouth Africa, uma ngabe wena uthi no ngiyangena manje, ngizokwenza sure ukuthi lo muntu abamthatha ngokuthi u-disable babone umehluko ukuthi u-disable uma bembuka kodwa napha kwenzayo. U-Girl Street la khona yebabethunga ihlalo ngelala bengaboni inhlobo emehlweni, bekwazi kodwa ukukhathanisa imbala, bekwazi ukuthunga izinto angisazi ukuthi ungathi le nto zozwingi bokudlala. yini azokwenza ubuyisa lethemba labantu abakhubazekile imindeni yabo engababoni ukuthi kufanele bafane na wonke umuntu bona mhlambe eminye bangize kahle base South Africa abantu baye babheke kuphela ukuthi bona bayagayina ngayo bakhohle ukuthi kusasa yini lo muntu uma ngabe behamba bazosala bayathola awuzosale bayiyo yingakho kuthola ukuthi abanye babagcina sebe-raishwa ngenxa yokuthi umuntu uzofikakani azomsiza asekho umakho bemlekelela mhlawumbe ufuna ukwenzani ayithi akatrayinwanga njengomuntu okhubazekile ukuthi ufuna ukuphile kanje kanje and especially thina sizwe sakithi simnyama abantu bakithi basele emuva abakhubazekile bayakwazi ngisho ukulima ungakwazi ukumfundisa ngoba uma ubabheka bahlaniphile kunomndeni manje onengane ihamba ngesisu kodwa uma uyibheka mhlangabantu abakhubazekile ngihlezi babona ukuba ingolunye uhlanga ngabe iyafunda okumphatha kabi ey'koleni angaze angisenebhadla angaze ngimbone utisha womuntu onebali elinye ngaphandle kwase-conference sude enanda la ngangabona khona utisha usibisi enethalente ongalazi ehamba ngey'nduku eculisa enza yonke into ukuthi ngempela-ke iliphi-ke la mani ozothwena nomanje ma ngingena la ngithi nje la bantu abakhubazekile ngizowaveza amathalente abo ngiyabonga sorry sithandwa sami sorry malapha
angibonge che ngibonge mama Khawula. Mama Khawula, the issues that you have raised, in fact, okay. 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 Okay, thanks, Chair. Do I continue, Chair? Okay. It's captured, of course. It's captured, of course. The issues that you have raised are generally close to my heart, especially the introduction part of your question, where our people are being hunted and slaughtered, used for wrong things. And this is mainly because there are so many myths that we have been growing with as a society that we have not gotten to a point where we remove them in our mindset. Now, one of the reasons, fundamental reasons why I opened an NGO called Albinism Renaissance, which I'm a president of, was because of these injustices. Go into a public school, you sit in the front there, right in front of the chalkboard. You have learners behind you, your classmates. Understand that you have a condition in as far as seeing is concerned, and they are impatient with you. You have an educator who is not necessarily educated on albinism issues, and they become impatient as well. This leads to a lot of dropouts of people with it's only a few, but at least now we're getting there. It's only a few of us who were able to maneuver and find our way out of that particular system or way. You go into a school, you are discriminated against. You like, people with disabilities are subjected to a lot of things that I call atrocities. Be it is a person with albinism, be it is a person on a wheelchair, person who doesn't see. I am a fan, I'm not a fan, Mam Kaula, of special schools, for instance. I'm a fan of these public schools because special schools is us only. Angihlangani no Mam Kaula, lo ongathandi ama yellow bone afana nathi, who's extremely impatient. So I'm not discriminated in a special school, but the problem is when I go back to school, I mean to the community where my family is, I get discriminated. As a result, my family hides me until such time that I go to school. Now, our education system, our public education system, needs to find a way of integrating people with disabilities within the mainstream so that we can co-live and co-understand one another. That way, we can be able to assist one another. For instance, Mam Kaula, mina, he knows them because that chalkboard, black or green, that white chalk was just not visible. The handwriting, I'm not going to say much. So all the friends that I had in high school and even in primary, they assisted me. I had people who were taking for me. My role is just to listen and capture what the educator is saying. Though that is the survival mechanism that one needed to do. There are people with disabilities who are generally dependent in the state for their livelihood. But there are people with disabilities with great talents. Before I joined the activism world, I used to sing there in church there. Even I was a choir. I nearly, Mam Kaula, sang for Joya Celebration at some point. That is simply because that is how much talented I was at the time. Now, the board of the NYDA needs to mobilize different formations and needs to introduce different programs that are going to aid people with disabilities. Now, for us to do that, we need to mobilize different disability formations. I know, working closely with, I know the president has got a disability forum that normally with him. And I should think that is there also in provincial departments and whatnot. Now, where we are, we are confident we can be able to assist people with disabilities. But where we are, Chair, we need to no longer stop talking. Start introducing programs that addresses all these particular challenges that people with disabilities are facing. And as a board of the NYDA, we must be in the forefront. I can assure this board, I mean this committee today sitting here, that once we find expression in this particular board, we are going to make sure by all means possible bring back people with disability as a matter of agency in our programs and prioritize in our programs. Because from where we are sitting right now, they are back in the value chain. They are not integrated within the system, but we are advocating for them. Now, I hope Uting Zamile, when I'm coming to answer you, any aspect that is quite critical, the reason that there are myths around albinism, the reason that there are discrimination around any other disability, it's lack of education. This is where these different organizations and formations with disabilities come through. They do advocacy. We play a supporting role as the NYDA. We support them with whatever that they need. Bona, they just move with advocacy. They just move with education. I always say, it's not that people don't understand, in my case, albinism. It's that they are not educated about albinism. That is why the mindset. And we are taking all those myths. You remember Mamukaula Lekaya, Saslala, Epsuku Banda, Swatumli, Ugog, Wastelitor, different. Some of these myths come from there. We need to address that. So it's at the core of everything else when it comes to issues of disability, it's education. Ngiyabongela.
Siyabonga. Yeah. That is bonga kakhulu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Masilo, let's go to the fiduciary duties of boards. And this speaks to the actual responsibilities of the board to take care of the public person. How would you ensure the good governance in the National Youth Development Agency should you be appointed in the board?
Okay. Thank you very much for the question. There's a government document called PFMA, Public Finance Management Act. This document, it's central to issues of finances for public entities, public institutions, government in general. Now, for us to make sure that there's good governance in as far as finances of an institution are concerned, is that whatever we do, we must use that book like a Bible. And where there's a crisis, there must be accountability. Now, in public institutions or government institutions, when you read that, so that they are accounting officers, whilst the board plays an oversight and make sure that things are done, it's quite critical that we zoom in on how are they being done, and why certain things are not being done, if they are not being done. Now, as the board must hold the accounting officer of the institution, who is the CFO and the CEO, actually the entire executive, accountable on every cent that goes out and every cent that comes in within the institution. We can't afford in government institution where it's free lunch for all, where everybody does as they please. Now, it is quite critical. That is why I said we must use that document as a Bible to guide us on management of finances. I should think that as much as there are programs, but there are policy documents and strategic documents that are in place to assist us in making sure that in a situation where finances of an institution are used wrongly or for, yes, let me, the wrongly word is, I think is correct, wrongly to disadvantage or wrongly, yeah, to disadvantage government. So let's, when we are dealing with finances, let's make the PFMA, let's put it at the center of management. So let's say a person does not, they decide to use monies of government wrongfully. So we must be able to apply that particular document, the PFMA, and where possible, charge people, where possible, fire people, but most importantly, recoup the wasteful expenditure or wasteful resources that were used, because those resources are resources of our taxpayers. I thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you very much. I thought the question was twofold. So, but you've answered the question. Francisco, this is what you asked me. Oh, okay. Honorable Gillian. Chairperson?
Thank you very much. And can you hear? I'm here, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.